Yeah, he can't hear me. That was known. But Ryan's mom, they discovered she has a cancer in her lung. And so we're continuing to pray for her. And we have some other moms. How are all the other moms we've been praying for? Are we got any good reports? Yes, good. Your mom's okay. All right. Any others? Good. So here's a mom. Yeah, here's a mom here. You know, one day I walk out and she's stretched out on the pavement, and then here she is in here. It's unbelievable. Oh yeah, taking a nap. Just, you know, go out and she's lying out there in the sun on the asphalt and going, "Golly, girl, you that tired?" You know, but well, you know, what can you say sometimes, right? You know, it is what it is. Yeah, and here you are. And so, oh yeah, she pulled a little stunt, decided that she needed a blood transfusion. So, you know, whacked herself up out there. And then here you are. So, praise God. Yep. And we want to be doing that for your mom and yours and everybody and anybody else that's got troubles today. And I didn't mention this a while ago, but I want to say it now. I do wish you happy Father's Day. I know, guys, we kind of, you know how that is. But truthfully, I do. Happy Father's Day to all of you. It's not tough. It's, you know, I'm watching out here and it's like, man, it's not tough being, it's not tough. It's tough being a guy. A real guy. And ladies, I'm not saying anything detrimental at all. It's tough being a real woman. They want you to be this cross-gender nothing. You know what I mean? And I don't know. You know, everything I look at is, you know, it's for both, you know, and men and women can wear the same thing. And I guess so, yeah. But there's just some stuff, you know, that I like to feel guyish about. And yeah, every once in a while, you know, it's my little personal protest. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't change the world. But I just want to buy some jerky, you know, and just tear it off before your mouth, dribble a little bit, and say, "Oh, it's my guy thing." Just stuff like that, you know. You just want to kind of keep a little bit going there, and things like that. And I'm, you know, if any of you guys can wear skinny jeans, okay, go ahead. I can't wear them. You wouldn't want to. Yeah, okay. oh God. Yeah, so you don't. I just can't do it. I look at them, and that's like I can't wear those, and that would hurt. You know, it's just, and it's like, no, I think I let my jeans flop a little, and I'm a guy. You know, that's all there is to it. And if somebody comes in wearing skinny jeans, I'm not going to say anything. I'll think something, but I won't say it. You know, it'll be okay. Anyway, I wish you happy Father's Day. Tough time to be fathers. Tough times to be dads. I really wish, and this is my wish on Father's Day, I wish the best for all of you. I want you to be blessed by God and prosper in every area of your lives. I really do. Spiritually, physically, and mostly financially. I truly do. But I wish for this country that we would see some fathers stand up and go out there and grab some millennial riders and put their boot where it belongs on those kids. I don't blame those kids as much as I look and say, "Where's your dad? Your dad needs to be out here kicking your bottom all the way back to the house and stop this stuff." Truly. And you know, that honest to God, and I know today I say things like that, and it's not politically correct, and I'll say into the camera up here, I don't care. What's wrong in this country goes back to some parents not doing what they're supposed to do. So that's my honorary part for the day. But I really have been bothered a lot. And when I saw the picture, it was sent to me, with that poor guy lying face down on the pavement and this kid running up and kicking him when he's already down, then find out he's 14 years old. My first thought was, where's Dad? Where's your dad? Probably. That probably didn't have a dad, and there's no male influence in his life. But I would like to be one for just a little. I would volunteer to be a male influence in his life for just 20 minutes. I promise you, you won't kick anybody else. I promise you. Some of you feel that way? And I know I could get in trouble for this, but you know what? I've been in trouble all my life for something or another. And you know, I hear people. There's another one there too. Yeah, yeah. You know, but for crying out loud, we got to say some things. We got to stand up, Christians. So the message today is not on beating up kids. You know, so don't go around. You know, don't go out of here and say Tony wants to beat up kids. No, I don't. I want to discipline. I want to teach them value, and I want to teach them. You don't go around desecrating the Lincoln Memorial and doing stuff like that. You know, no. No, not on my watch. I just don't do that. So, the battle for faith is the title of this message. Let me give you a couple lead-ins. In 1 John 5, you know a bunch of this stuff. I'm reading now the New Living Translation for this. I don't know why. It just reads different today, and maybe I just wanted something different. But I often, NIV reads real well on this. But today, you know, we'll use the New Living. But in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5, it says every child of God, we need to hear this. Because I hear people calling me, people ask me, what do you think we should do? Like, I don't know. You know, but I do know. And here's what it says. Every child of God defeats this evil world. Have you read this recently? And I'm sure it's up here. You know, and this is everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world. What? Even our faith. You reading this? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. And who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Did everybody get that? And then in this one, and it just reading just a little different, it says, every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And so that's why the title, what we have really when it comes down to it for Christianity now is a battle for faith. It's not just a battle of, it's a battle for. Because what we're being faced with as Christians is we've got faith and we've got fear. And which are we going to get? What are we going to follow? What are we going to yield to? And there's many a Christian, you know, that doesn't know what to do, and they're standing there on the line in Jude chapter 3. Chapter 3. I did this to Ed when I sent this in. I gave him Jude 6, 3, and there's not six chapters in Jude. And I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's to see if you'd call me back, Ed. I don't know. But Ed's quick. It was immediately, you know, what? Because there's Jude is just one chapter. But verse 3 says this, and you got, did we, I did give that to you, didn't, right? We got it up here in Jude 3. If not, I'll read it out of this one, and it may read different up there. But here's what it says. Dear friends, I've been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. And now I find that I must write something else. And you can read this in Jude, urging you to what? Listen to this. Some of your translations will say, you know, battle for the faith and defend the faith. And this one says, I'm urging you to defend the faith, right here, see that? That defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. Has everybody got that? What does he say? You overcome the world by your faith. But now he says, I want you to defend it. And if I'm going to defend something, I have to fight for it. He's using military terms, and a lot of that's in Scripture. And a lot of it, Paul and these guys writing this stuff, Jude, these people use military terms because the Roman army was always out there, and that's what they saw, the soldiers. And they were writing to people who could identify in that time with all this stuff. And so he's saying, I want you to defend the faith. You've got to do that. And Christians need to defend the faith. And listen, this is not a soapbox thing. but I this has been gnawing on me and bothering me, so I'm going to get it out of my system right now, okay? We in Christianity, we have needed a voice defending the faith and encouraging us in Christianity in this country to keep the faith. The voice of the Billy Graham type thing. Somebody that will stand up and take the hits. This is not meant to be tacky. This is meant to be a question that's in my mind. Where are these guys that are so popular when times are good on television and everything else, telling us, oh, it's great, and just believe, and now when we've needed them in this crisis, I haven't heard a word from not one of them. And shame on you. It's nice and great when you got the money rolling in and you can stand up there and everything's good and you don't have to take any hits and say it's all great. Listen, I'm not here to put anybody in the can. I'm simply saying we in this country need a voice from somebody who's known, who's out there, and some of these guys have been out there, but they haven't been out there. Have you thought about it? Where are they? Franklin Graham has tried, and a few others, but where are these well-known, you know, and it's like, Tony, easy here. I know. I'm not attacking. Please don't. I'm not here with a chip. I'm simply asking the question, where are you guys when you know you're going to take some hits? And we need you to stand up because you're well-known. You've been on TV talk shows. You've been on this and that. You know, everybody in the country knows your name. Well, where in tarnation are you when it's down out here? And we need to hear you saying to all of us, put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone and stay with this. Don't you have the guts to do it when it's tough? And friends, I'm saying to you, this is a battle of faith for the faith. And it's going to take a little spiritual intestinal fortitude to get up here and for me to say it, for you to say it. You know, we're not judging people. We're simply saying, folks, the answer's not in the Congress. It's not in the president. It's not in the Senate. It's not in some new vaccine. The answer lies in this book. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we've got to stand on that faith. And you say, well, man, you go out there and do that, they'll be rioting at your house. Probably. But didn't he tell us that we've got to be willing to do that? Or else, one of these days, we were just kind of having a little talk about this a while ago, but at the table there, but it's true. I don't want the day to come when I'm standing there and he says to me, I know you preached in my name, Tony, and I know you did this and did that, but I never knew you. I don't want that to happen. And Jesus said that's going to happen to a lot of people. And he said, you'll say to me, we cast out demons. That's big. And we work miracles in your name. And he's going to say, I didn't know you. Because at the name of Jesus, miracles can happen whether you know Him or not. I mean, just using His name can cause mighty things to happen. And there will, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I don't want that to happen. I want Him to be able, when I stand there, to say, son, you've goofed up a lot, but you're one of mine. I do, don't you? I want Him to be able to say, man, I just want Him to look at me and say, your sins are forgiven, and I got your name right here in my book of life. Now get on in here. And He's going to fall down on your knees, and I know I will, and we all will, and we're just thanking Him that I can be here. Thank you, God, because we know when you see heaven, you're going to immediately, and with more than you could possibly imagine, the day you see heaven, you'll fall on your knees. You really will. And you're going to realize how little you deserve it. When you see the splendor and the grandeur of this whole thing, you can't comprehend. And then you'll realize, puny me, I shouldn't even be here. And He's going to say, you're here because my blood was applied to your heart. And you're one of my children. And I wrote you down the day you believed. Right here. Here's your name. Come on in. This is all prepared for you. And there's your mansion over there. Me? A mansion? That's what he said. Go get your mansion. Oh, man. And, you know, and I'm thinking he might add a little extra for Tony and say, and okay, and here is your heavenly hunting license. There's Elk Mountain. Go get them. And you know, it's going to be, yay, God. Where's my four-wheel drive? Got one of those for you too. Okay, maybe I'm stretching it a tad. But anyway, that's the way I hope it'd be. So let me give you these points real quick. In the battle for faith, first of all, you know, when we talk about faith, and we know Romans 12 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for and all this kind of stuff, and it's seeing in your mind what hasn't happened yet, and we know all the good, juicy theological stuff. But, you know, there's something about faith that often we don't hear, and it's so basic, yet we miss it. You know what? You know, the first point I want to make about faith is you've got to want it to get it. And a lot of people don't want to have faith. You know what they want? Fear. They want anxiety. They want stress. Friends, listen to me. You know, you know, I've done a lot of counseling, and sometimes it just wears me out, and I had to back off from it. But one of the things I see, I don't see overwhelming faith. If they had overwhelming faith, they wouldn't be talking to me in the first place. They'd be encouraging me. Here's what I see most often in Christianity. People are addicted to their stress. They're addicted to their problems. They're hung up in being hung up. And they don't know what to do unless they have an issue. They don't. When I start working with people, and it's like, let's get you away from this. Come on, we can have a better life, and we can get you in a lot more stress-free environment. And they panic. And when we really start getting down to the brass tacks, you know, and we're going to get you freed from this, and life's going to be so peaceful, they actually get upset. And they'll a lot of times break off seeing you. They don't want counsel anymore. Why? Because they like being stressed. They like being dysfunctional. And I've even had people, not many, but a few, be honest enough to say, Tony, I kind of like my dysfunction. And so, you know, and I don't get offended. I used to, and it's like, why? What does it do for you? And they say things like that. It causes my husband or wife or whatever it may be, or my kids to pay me attention. At least they're being honest. And it's what it does. You know what it really says? If you're dysfunctional, I'm a victim. And I need somebody to take care of me. It's true. And America is just enveloped with this self-centered, self-focused, and we don't want to come out of our dysfunctions and our stuff and have faith and watch God work miracles of deliverance. It's easier to be, listen, it's so much easier to be a victim and say, it's not my fault. And I want somebody to wait on me and take care of me. And I want somebody to listen to me. And please, I'm not knocking anything. People have legitimate problems and all that. And that's what we're here for, you and me, all of us, to listen and to help them. But so many folks, they like their dysfunction. They don't want to have faith. You've got to want it. You have to desire it. And let me tell you this. When you ask Jesus in your heart, you're given a measure of faith. Romans tells us that. And Paul said, paraphrasing here for the sake of time, but he said, we're given a measure of faith, all of us. Now, some have a lot more faith than others, and that's the point. But you're given that measure of faith, and faith comes from hearing, and that's what Romans 10 says. You know, faith comes from hearing, and that is in hearing the good news about Christ. But listen to me. He gives you a measure of faith. Well, God gives you a body, right? You can say, okay. Okay. He gives you a body. And you're born with a body, and most of us, you know, you're born pretty healthy. And you begin to develop as kids, and you start seeing a few muscles. And guys, every guy in this place, it's Father's Day, I'm going to say this, you know, every guy in this place, you know when you first stood in the mirror and you looked and there was this little marble right there, and you did like that, and this little marble came up, and it's, oh, man, you felt tough. And you had a little marble muscle coming up there. And you could just, oh God, look at that. And you got your little arm up there and this little thing, and it's a muscle. You know, not too hard. But anyway, and you begin to develop. If you want that little marble to turn into a softball, or maybe a football, yeah? What do? You find out that if you just sit there, it won't go far beyond that. But if you start doing this stuff, and you start pulling up, yeah, you find that little marble can grow. And you build your body. And you got to stay with it. I'll slip this in. What a segue into this, huh? Right? And keep doing it no matter what. Keep walking. Keep doing what you can. You got to change things as you age. I just heard that from a doctor. You got to change some stuff you're doing, but keep doing some things. Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay. So, but you keep working out best you can, right? To keep it going. Well, do that with our bodies. And listen to me. Why don't we do that with our faith? God gives you a little mustard seed of faith when you ask Jesus in your heart. Got you a little marble, right? A little muscle. And so many Christians are content to stay and never build that faith. I have faith. I ask Jesus in my heart, and I've got this little, my little muscle. And I'm happy with that. And God's saying, I want you to be bodybuilder. I want you to be spiritual athletes. Doesn't Paul talk about that? Running the race. I want you to be athletic, spiritually athletic. I'm not talking about physical stuff. I want you to build that faith up. And you got, how do you do it? Here it is. How do you build your faith? First, you got to hear it. It comes from hearing the word. It comes from hearing that, you know, this kind of message, and not just me, but others. You know, you need to hear the word of God. It comes from hearing. Also, faith comes from what? Getting into this word and seeing that if God could do it for others, he can do it for me. Faith moves mountains, and he says, even a mustard seed of faith, you can just say this tree over here, get out of the way and go move, be jerked up by the roots and it'll happen. Say that mountain, whatever mountain's in your life, and it'll move if you just have a mustard seed of faith. But so many Christians have what? They've gotten spiritual atrophy. Their faith muscles haven't developed. And so you say, okay, so I hear it. I study it, but what else? I can study baseball. I can study an athletic event. I can watch it on the field. But guess what happens? Sooner or later, if I'm going to participate in that sport, what do? I get on the field and I start doing it. And that's where we get into trouble. Your faith will never develop if you don't practice it. You say, what? Well, how long has it been since you really got down with somebody and laid and just put your hand on them and just said, I am praying and believing in Jesus' name for you to be well? Now, I've had pastors say to me, I don't want to do that because what if they don't get well? It's like, oh, you worried about your little pastoral reputation? Our job is to ask God to do it. It's his job to decide whether he wants to or not. And a lot of that's going to be based on our faith. It's not my job to heal people. I can't. But it sure is my job to cut a hole in the roof and let them down where they can be healed. You follow me? That's putting it into practice. Remember that story? And those folks went up there and they couldn't get to Jesus and they had their friend and he was paralyzed. He couldn't do anything for himself. He didn't even have faith. He was messed up bad. Then they crawl up on the roof and Jesus down there teaching inside and cut a hole in the roof and lower him. I have a message on that one of these days, so I'm going to bring it all now. And they drop him down in front of Jesus. Now that's faith, folks. And I'll tell you what we miss often, okay? They had faith, and this is just humorous to me, but this is where my mind goes with stuff like that, right? They had faith that Jesus would heal him. And Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. And he get up and walk, and he walks out. And everybody's hoorahing. And you know, and I've always asked, yeah, and they had to pay for the roof. You see? They not only lured him through, but they had to pay for what they... And that's what faith does. You're willing to go the distance. Somebody had to pay that guy for the roof on his house. And it's like, that's what it does. It's willing to pay the price. It's willing to do whatever it takes. And so you put it into practice, and as you do, man, these spiritual muscles grow. Your heart grows. Your love grows. Everybody, you hearing this? You got to exercise it. James was real pointed about this. He said, you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. Faith without works is what? Dead. And so he's saying, you're going to die spiritually with your faith if you don't get out and exercise the stuff. You need to hear it. You need to be around people who believe. The problem, I see a lot of problem with Christians, is you're hanging out with the wrong people. Quit hanging around with people who are just caught up in it's bad. Everybody's going to die. World's out of control. And I know I'm stepping on sacred ground here to say this, so I'm gonna step in and get out real quick. Get off of Facebook once in a while. And quit reading the garbage. I know there's some good stuff on there too. But listen, there's so much. Sometimes being a pastor just limits my vocabulary. There's so much tacky stuff. You know, untrue stuff on Facebook. But you can get, and you say, well, I don't believe that. So you read it and you say, I don't believe that. But it's stuck in, it's in your head now. Your mind records every dadgum thing you read. And it'll start working negatively. So I'm not telling you that don't go to Facebook. I'm simply saying, watch it. And don't fill your head with all the how bad it is, what's going on. Get around people who have faith, who believe. And I don't mean their heads in the clouds. I mean their heads in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm hitting this too hard. I got to move on. Just know this. Faith is given to you when you're saved, when you ask Jesus in your heart. Just as your body's given to you and it's up to you to exercise it and stay around other spiritually athletic people and develop it and find the sport. Listen to me. You hear how I'm saying this. Find the Christian sport you're good in. Discover your spiritual gifts and the abilities God's given you and play the sport that you're gifted to play. Everybody with me? What was I called to do? This. What's your gift? What Christian sport are you to be involved in? Some of you have the gift of mercy, gift of serving. On and on the list goes. There's a ton of spiritual gifts. What are you gifted to do? Get out there and play the game of life here. You know what I'm saying? You hear me saying? I'm talking sports-wise, athletic, but you get the point. What do you do that can help other people, that can exercise your faith? Okay, so you have to want it to have it, and secondly, you're going to have to fight for it to keep it. Just make note of this. If you're going to have that faith that God wants you to have, this battle for faith, you're going to have to fight for it to keep it, because there's two prime enemies to faith. You know what the first one is? Unbelief. No faith is an enemy of faith. But there's a lot of people, including a lot of Christians, who don't have faith. You remember the guy that had the son and he had a demon and he was throwing him in the water and doing all this stuff, and the guy said, your disciples can't cast him out. And Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? And what did the man say? He was so honest, and I've had to say the same thing, and you can too. That man looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's a good starting place for all of us. Sometimes we have to look at God and say, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And what was he saying? I believe, but there's a whole lot here I can't get. I'm a human. I can't get it. But you know why? He believed. He had that little mustard seed enough. You know what the mustard seed was? He believed enough to bring that boy to Jesus' disciples, so there was a little mustard seed of faith, or would never brought the kid to him. And on just that basis alone, that demon was cast out of that boy, and that boy was healed and set free. That's all it takes, friends. It's just got to get out there and act on it. Even if you have all kinds of doubts, at least that little mustard seed got that kid in front of those disciples. They couldn't do it, but Jesus did. And I'll tell you right here, I can't do it, but Jesus can. You can't do it, but Jesus can. But you got to get the kid in front of him. You got to get the problem in front of Jesus, whatever it is. You got to get your dysfunction out there. And you say, I've never been able to quit this problem. I've got this habit. I do this. I know I shouldn't do it. I drink too much. I smoke too much. Or too much of that stuff. And whatever. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out, not picking on anybody. And the point is, you'll never beat it, but you can put it in front of Jesus and He can. If you have to drag that problem in front of Him every day, just give it to Him. That's how you battle this thing. Don't let the enemy get you with unbelief. Take what you got and let it grow, but at least you're doing something to build it up. And then secondly, the second enemy, the second huge and maybe terrible enemy of faith is fear. Fear. And I want to tell you something. I try hard. You see me steering so hard to stay out of this political thing. I'm not in church. But we'll name it for what it is. The news media and many politicians are fear mongers. And they are being used of the enemy, the devil, to try to wreck the Christian influence in this country. All ethics, anything worthwhile, all that's good, they're apt to destroy. I'm not trying to get on a political table. I don't want to be on one in here. This is about Jesus Christ. But the devil is using these folks right now. And they're even, and I don't know the term. It skipped my mind. I was going to look now. Anyway, but they're photoshopping. They're putting things out there saying that this was done, and they are actually changing pictures. Check it out. And you're not even seeing what happened on the screen. It's all changed. You mean we've gone to that far? Yes. But I want to tell you something. Here's where I stand on this and bringing this message on faith. They might be able to fool me by changing and putting a head on this person, or, you know, a lady holding a sign and she's not really, and they just put it in there, whatever you call it. They may be able to fool me, but they can't fool Him. And God is watching, and God is on His throne, and He knows exactly what to do, and He just wants me to bring it in front of Him, present myself, whatever my issues are, whatever I'm afraid of. Friends, listen to me. Take the things that you fear, that you don't understand. This COVID thing, is there a virus out there? There is. We know that. But am I going to let it dominate me with fear? I must not. I cannot. If I do that, I'm saying that I'm more afraid of that than I am of Him. You say, are you afraid of God? I want to tell you right now, yeah, I that's why I asked Jesus, I don't want God's wrath in my life. But I'm afraid of something else. I don't want God's displeasure. Do you? Think about it. I don't want Him to be displeased with me because I give in to something on this earth. And even if I know it could take my life, I thought that I wasn't supposed to be worried about my life. I thought that there is no end to life. I thought that as a Christian, life never ends. My existence in front of you will come to an end, but I won't come to an end. So why am I afraid? Why are we all afraid? You can't die. This thing, there'll come a time when you won't get rid of it. If you're younger than me, you may not get this, but you will. There's things now that just make me, I just like, oh God, no, not another shot in the knee. Yeah. And it's like, as you know, your body will just give out. But Jesus Christ is not going to let me die. You either. So what are you afraid of? You know, if you need to take precautions, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying throwing caution to the wind. Don't purposely jump off a cliff. But I'll tell you one thing. It's kind of neat to jump with a parachute. You following me? Sometimes you got to take a leap of faith and realize that God has got you back. You following me? I heard my tanker over here grunt at that. Tankers, these tank guys, just look at those, all of us who would talk about a parachute. We're insane to them. They're enclosed in tons of metal where there's some security. And we're falling through the sky as if that little piece of uniform will protect us, right? I know, and I heard him groan over there, and I really understand it, you know, and it's like, see, that's what I was saying in the beginning. You say, Tony, so there is a little bit of a screw loose in you, right? Yeah, it always has been. I'm sorry, folks. And I give you the best I can in spite of my, you know, my little problem. So anyway. Do you hear this, though? Sometimes you really do have to take the leap, but he's your parachute. You follow me? He's your armor and protection. But you'll never know that until you get out on the battlefield. You won't know. This is good stuff, isn't it? If this gets any better, I'm going to take notes on myself. Okay, here we go. Anyway, so I want to give you four things to understand about fear real quick, because I don't want to keep us here all day. But these are four important things to understand about fear and how the devil uses it. First of all, fear is oftentimes generational. It's a generational curse. It can be a generational sin. It's passed on in families. You ever thought about it? Fear is something that can be very generational, and it can be a stronghold of the enemy. And in many people, fear is a stronghold that's been passed on to them. Fear of drowning, fear of falling, fear of fire. If you grew up in a house where there was someone who had real issues getting up in the middle of the night, afraid the house was on fire, you know, you say, oh, that's that. People do that? Oh, yeah. They're obsessive compulsive. They get up and check the doorknobs several times during the night with their obsessive compulsive tendencies. And there's people who get up and they go in and they're checking every room. They're afraid. They really fear the house is going on fire every night. If you're a kid growing up in that environment, I promise you, you will have some issues that need to be dealt with. And Jesus Christ is the one to overcome that. I've shared with many of you before, so I don't want to be redundant in all this. My poor mom, she was sick most of her life. She feared water, and she put a fear in me of water. It was unbelievable. She feared fire, and she feared, I'd crawl up in the tops of trees like little boys do, and she'd just go be just freaking out. That tree's going to break. That's going to fall. You're going to fall. And that puts that fear in your head. And she had gotten that, and it was something. And fear of water just seemed to be in her family for generations. What, you're afraid of water? You're afraid of drowning. So here this kid comes out, and I've got this stuff, and it's really hard. What have you got in your life, and where did it come from? What is it that's just a really abnormal fear for you? It could be anything. Let me tell you right now, one of the things this pandemic, if you want to call it that, whatever, is revealed a lot of people have just an obsessive fear with germs. I'm not making fun of that. Hey, I had a fear of water. I wouldn't get in water boys. I just couldn't. If I couldn't see the bottom, I didn't want in it. So I'll go on active duty and all this stuff. And back then, you know, there was, and it's like, you know, we need some guys that, you know, go to scuba school. And it's like, first time I had to put my head underwater, it wasn't that far. I freaked. Because the words of my mother came before, you'll drown, you'll drown, you'll drown. And that instructor grabbed me, you know, and with a few nice Christian words, you know, yeah, of what is wrong with you? And I said, this fear hit me. I thought I was dying. You know what he said? You're going to die if you don't get back down here. Motivation. That's motivation. But then he said, tell you what, I'm going to stand here and have my hand on the back of your neck right here on your little hose. And if I see any jerk at all, I'm just going to pull you up. Okay? And if you don't start panicking, I'm going to ease you down, holding on to you. Good instructor. Gave me that security, and in time overcame it, and then began to teach it myself. Okay? You say, so see, what you do, and this is not about me, it's about facing your fears. Had to do the same thing with heights. So how to overcome that? You know that. Jump out of airplanes. You can overcome a fear of heights, jump out of airplanes. If you ever have that problem, just jump out of an airplane. That'll help you a whole lot. You'll scream all the way down, but you'll overcome it. If you have a fear of being closed up in spaces, get in a tank. See? You know? You follow me here? Why don't you challenge your fear? And I'm not going to tell you if you have a fear of fire, play with matches. Don't do that. Okay? But there is a place to say, Jesus, if I perish in fire tonight, what difference does it make? All I'm going to do is just take one step from this place right into my little mansion. And frankly, Lord, I'm looking forward to that mansion. Right? I'm not going to jump on the next train by, but I'm looking forward to it. What are you afraid of? Really? What are you really afraid of? So it's generational and it's learned. I learned fear and I had generational fear. And it was a curse in my family. There's some things right now that I still see some of my family afraid of water. Seriously? But then I remember if you hadn't challenged it like you did, you'd be the same way. And you learn it. You learn it with your friends, your peers. Listen, is there anything more contagious than fear? One person panic in the crowd and all of a sudden everybody's getting all freaked out. You ever been out at night and one person get afraid out wherever in the woods or wherever you're at and everybody just starts running? And you don't even know why you're running? Because one person freaked out. It's amazing how quickly fear will get you, and it's amazing how hard it is to have faith. You ever thought about it? Fear takes a lot more energy than having faith, but I've been out there at night and somebody freak out and just take off, oh my God, and you don't know what they saw or heard, and what do you do it? You're running like an idiot too. I've seen people run into trees, fences, everything imaginable because somebody panicked. Do you know that's what the devil's trying to get us to do? He wants you and me just to start running in fear instead of standing up saying, I'm not going to take it. I rebuke you, devil, and face you in the name of Jesus. I call down this fear. I will not be overcome. Greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world. So it's generational, it's learned, and it's mental. I'm not saying you have a mental problem, but fear's in the head. Have you ever dreamed up something that wasn't there? Has anybody done that and just scared yourself to death? You ever been at home, alone at night or something, and you hear a noise outside? And in your head, all of a sudden, it's 15 burglars armed to the teeth. And they're coming through the window. We've all done it, haven't we, in one form or another? And your mind just gets away from you. And you're just paralyzed in fear. You know, you hear a noise. And somehow you turn that noise into, they're opening the window. They're at the door. All it was a big moth hitting the window. But the mind took over. And friends, you got to learn to let Jesus Christ have control of that. And the time to whip that fear is not let it go on until you're just freaked out over in a corner shaking, Jesus, help me. You immediately say, Lord Jesus Christ, I give this to you right now. We will not go any further with this. I hear noises all the time where I'm at. You can't live out in the country at all and not hear noises. You know, there's raccoons come up in the back and they crawl over stuff and they'll get on your windowsill. There's one thing after another. And once or twice I've had those rat snakes, you know, they go everywhere. And they like crawling across at the bottom of the windowsill and scraping on the screen. And so you'll be lying there once in a while at night and you hear that shh, as they're sliding across there. And you gotta get a grip, you know? Because if you don't watch it, your mind will turn that into, oh God, somebody's cutting through the window. They're going to come in any minute now. And then you just realize, just another old rat snake. Oh, heard something crash out there. And yeah, the coons are back on the porch again. And you begin to do that and say, Jesus, there's nothing out here that's bigger than you. Okay, I need to wrap this up. And then fourthly, what other thing you need to understand about fear? It is a spirit, and it can be a demonic spirit that's oppressing you. It's a spirit of the enemy. How do we know that? Because we read in Scripture that God has not given you the spirit of fear. So he names it. He did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control and a sound mind. How about that? And it's in 2 Timothy, if you need a reference, 1:7. God did not give you a spirit of fear. So he names it. There is a spirit of fear. And you can have that oppression upon you. And there is a spirit of fear. Renounce it, rebuke it, stand against it. So I'll close with this. What do I do? Stand in faith. You determine right now in this worship service, you determine each day of your life, and you go to bed at night and you get up in the morning, Lord, I'm going to stand in faith. If my faith wavers today, Lord, tap me on the shoulder of my heart and remind me, you're slipping in your faith. You're listening to fear. You're giving in to generational stuff. You're letting your mind work on you. I will not go there today. And friends, with that, if you are hanging around people who are constantly just building fear, building fear, building fear, take a break from them. Or you be the one that starts inserting faith into those conversations. You can defeat the enemy and his servants. Face your fears and ask yourself, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? Name it. Admit it. And renounce it. Give it up to Jesus Christ. And you claim 1 John 5, greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world, right? And you can go over to Isaiah 54 and claim it. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And claim it every day. And you take your stand in Christ and you stand on God's good news that Jesus Christ in you is greater than anything in this world. And you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I shall not be overcome, but I'll put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and my feet shod with the readiness from knowing the word of God. And I'll hold up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And I'm going to take what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I'm going to live today in freedom from all this, standing in faith. Amen. That's it. That's all I got. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, God. I thank you for each person here. I ask you to encourage us and load us up with faith right here and now. I ask you, Father, to give us we renounce in the authority of Jesus' name the spirit of fear and all the generational things that may have come with it and any strongholds. We renounce it, we stand against it, and we give it to you, Lord Jesus. And we pray the blood of Jesus over us between us and all these irrational, crazy fears. And we stand on our faith in Jesus Christ. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. And God, I pray your blessings upon each and every one here, that everyone would know and see and feel and experience our Almighty God, you Lord Jesus Christ at work, conquering, defeating the enemy, blessing and giving and helping and healing and in every way, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, just bringing more blessings than we can possibly even imagine, because your word says that with God's power at work within us, God can do far exceeding beyond anything we can ask or imagine. And we claim it, we believe it, we stand on it, and thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, each and every one. Bless you, bless you.